Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Well, the conventions are over, and the two major political parties have officially chosen their nominees for president, Hillary Clinton for the Democrats and Donald Trump for the Republicans. And look at the two-party platforms that were adopted at their respective conventions leaves no doubt which party, at least on paper, is the most family-friendly, pro-life, pro-religious freedom, pro-natural marriage party. During the program, we're also going to talk about the recent announcement by the Navy that they will name a ship after homosexual activist and known sexual predator Harvey Milk. My guest today is Peter LaBarbera. He's president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality in the Chicago area. Thanks, Peter, for being with us.
Hey, Diane. Thanks a lot for having me on again.
And so in case there's some listeners out there who don't know what Americans for Truth is, give us a rundown. What you got? What do you guys do?
Well, we report critically on the homosexual, bisexual, transgender movement and try to report some news that the so-called mainstream media doesn't report on. And that's a lot on this issue, Diane, as you know.
Oh, sure. Well, they talk about it all the time, I thought. You know, like, this is, but their take is it's good. It's a good idea. America needs to move that direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the media has never been as biased as it is today. And just some, you know, look at the coverage of the presidential election. You see how biased it is, usually against Republicans. It's 10 times worse, maybe 100 times worse than that on the homosexual issue, because now the media acts like there really is no, you know, opposing viewpoint that's legitimate, opposing the homosexual activist and the transgender movement.
How often do you get invited on to Fox News or CNN or anything like that?
Oh, almost every day, Diane.
Oh, really?
Well,
good. And
that's they've really blocked out. It's not just us. Many pro-family forces are not brought on now, and the ones that are, for example, Tony Perkins of Family Research Council there in Washington, D.C., the social left has a huge campaign trying to say, oh, FRC is a hate group, which, of course, anybody who's doing anything effective fighting the homosexual activist movement is smeared as a hate group.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're pushing hard to deny the media even having Tony Perkins on. So this is the way they work. They shut down opposing viewpoints
to make it appear as if no one opposes this agenda, when we know that really the majority of Americans do, but they're being isolated and they're beginning to think that, well, I'm the only one who thinks this way, and the media knows.
Yeah, and I think it would be so incredible how many people would actually oppose this agenda if they knew what we knew, Diane.
Yeah.
I mean,
and really,
I don't think most college kids, for example, even know that ex-gays exist. We know that there are people who've left a lifestyle.
Right.
We have on our website some great stories, testimonies of ex-gays, ex-lesbians, even ex-transgenders like Walt Heyer, but a lot of people don't even know those people exist.
Yeah. I just read the whole transgender thing. It's just crazy. But unfortunately, it appears as if when you look at the convention, we're going to concentrate on the Republican National Convention because, you know, as we look at the platforms, there's a distinct difference between the two platforms. And on paper, it makes it appear as if the two parties are black and white as far as when it comes to this this issue of homosexuality and transgenderism and the whole agenda to normalize it. And so we're going to concentrate on the Republican Party because, truthfully, that was a disappointment in some of the things that they did. I mean, that the platform is fantastic. It's fantastic. It's the most conservative, most pro-family, pro-life platform I think that the Republicans have ever penned. And so that's good if it goes beyond just being words on a paper. One of the examples is on July.
Well, can I have one comment on that, Diane?
Yeah, go ahead.
They didn't even get everything that Obama's doing on the homosexual issue. For example, I did not see in the section on human rights, foreign policy, I did not see the Republican Party address what Obama did, which is a huge shift in U.S. policy, making homosexualism the basis for so-called human rights promotion abroad. And so in the guise of human rights, Obama is pushing pro-homosexual, pro-transgender, pro-gay marriage so-called policies on these third world countries using U.S. foreign aid. And according to what I read, I did not see an answer to that in the Republican Party platform.
Well, I didn't notice that. I just kind of skimmed over it. because it's like, what, 66 pages or something like that. So, wow, I did not.
Yeah, and then we always get the platforms, and everybody, and the left gets the policies, and that's sort of what's happened. It seems, again, I mean, only in this case, we got a good platform, pretty much, but yet we're going to be talking about, maybe it's the Trump forces, but outward expression of the GOP platform, of the Republican Party at the convention, was more pro-homosexual than ever,
I think.
Oh,
yeah, there's no doubt. And one example was the co-founder of PayPal, Peter Thiel. He's also a Facebook investor and a billionaire, so he's got lots of money.
Yeah, he used his opportunity in the limelight there, which Trump gave him right on the best night, you know, about an hour before Trump spoke, so he got this prime spot on the convention. And what does he do? He uses it to ridicule the culture war, you know, our side, basically.
Yeah.
He poo-poos the whole notion of fighting the transgender agenda, you know, grown men entering female private spaces, you know, public restrooms and locker rooms occupied by real females.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he poo-poos that whole thing, and it was bizarre to watch the Republican Party basically running against its brand in their convention, you know, on primetime TV.
Yeah, and in fact, his exact quote on that is, "Now we are told that the great debate is about who gets to use which bathroom. This is a distraction from our real problems. Who cares?" That was his exact quote on that.
Yeah, just unbelievable, because a lot of people, especially a lot of women, care.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and now we see the real case of Target in Idaho, an Idaho Target store, where a man who, you know, dressed as a woman, entered a Target store, went to a changing area where a woman was getting changed, and he secretly videotaped her. And then in his affidavit, which we have on our website, you can just, you know, Google in our search engine, you know, Target Idaho.
Yeah.
In the affidavit, he basically said that he uses that for pornography. So it's weird, Diane. It's bizarre and creepy. But you get these guys, even though they put on a woman's dress and try to be like a woman, they're still sexually attracted to females,
right?
And they want to go into female restrooms. That's bizarre.
To get videos so they can produce pornography. Those are stories that are just being told locally. I don't think there's probably any chance that any national news agency is going to pick up that story, because that would just reaffirm what we've been saying all along and what you guys have been saying, and why AFA National has called for the boycott of Target. Is that these things are going to happen with Target opening the, you know, saying, well, you can use whichever bathroom, whichever restroom or changing room you want to, that these are going to be happening more and more. And we've seen that. We've seen numerous examples of Target making the news locally anyway about men entering the women's dressing room and videotaping them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and it was, the media is the protector of the homosexual agenda, now the transsexual agenda.
Well, as you
more and more, the word transphobe, you know, being used to basically say that people like us are afraid. We're, instead of just opposing this on the basis of reason, you know, it's ridiculous to have men in female restrooms. We're called transphobes.
And
in other words, we have an irrational fear.
Yeah, and isn't this the same media that says climate change is happening? Because if you look at the science, and science shows that climate change is happening, but yet they are willing to ignore biology when it comes to male and female?
Yeah, I mean, the science claims of the left are so ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, on abortion, they don't really care about the ultrasound
life
technology,
yeah,
which now shows unborn child is, you know, human. Incredible photos of unborn children. And on the homosexual issue, they don't care that the born gay theory is pretty much repudiated.
Mm-hmm.
They touted the idea of genetic homosexuality because they know that people, if they think somebody's born homosexual, then they really can't help themselves,
right,
so they're really not responsible for their behavior.
And Americans,
and so, yeah, the science claims are ridiculous. And can I say one more thing about the Republican convention,
uh-huh,
Diane?
Yeah. We're just getting started on that.
Did you watch the Fox News coverage of that?
Pardon? The Fox News coverage?
Did you watch the Fox News coverage of that? Because Fox brought on, after Peter Thiel gave his talk, this is the, you know, like you said, the homosexual businessman, out homosexual, Fox brought on to comment two people. One was a so-called gay Republican, a very smart young man named Guy Benson.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, he's declared that he's openly homosexual, and we need to pray for this kid. He's a good guy, smart young man, but he's deluded. He thinks he's, quote, gay.
Yeah.
They brought him on to comment, and then a Democrat. But there was no social conservative to rebut what Peter Thiel had just said. Because
well,
Guy Benson praised him, and,
yeah.
and it was sort of a shining moment for Guy Benson. Oh, you know, here's the Republican Party promoting acceptance of gays. That's their language. And it was just sad to see Fox News, which we regard as really the dominant, the one single conservative-leaning mm-hmm. network we have, and they, too, were promoting the so-called gay Republican agenda.
Yeah. My understanding, well, I know they were brought on to comment about the PayPal co-founder's comments, but another thing that Peter Thiel said is that the culture war is fake, and he was proud to be gay, and then he went in and belittled pro-family efforts opposing transgender rights laws, which you mentioned a little bit ago. But he's saying that, and we've heard this repeatedly in the news recently.
He's an active participant in the culture wars.
Pardon?
He's fought on the other side.
Oh, yeah,
He called them fake, but he's been a very serious player
look what PayPal did in North Carolina. They pulled out. They were going to put a new plant or whatever in Charlotte, and they pulled out after HB2 was passed. And, they've been very much involved in the culture war, and they just don't want to portray it that way, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, it was sort of a smear job. It was a hit job by Peter Thiel, and it was very slick. And then they tried to say that everybody was clapping for him, but I think it happened so fast the average person didn't know what was going on. But just the very simple idea of promoting openly gay Republicans, I shouldn't use that word gay because it's really a word that was, it's not an accurate word.
They invented it, yeah.
Yeah, they invented it. But you know what I'm saying.
Right.
The idea that this is a good thing for Republicans to be supporting as the pro-family party, when we know that, you know, there are many people who've left the homosexual lifestyle. Republicans should be promoting, you know, the Judeo-Christian morality that
right.
is time-tested for centuries. But now you have a lot of liberal, moderate, and libertarian voices within the Republican Party saying, hey, we need to reach out to gay Republicans.
Because we have to have a big tent. We have to have a big tent. We have to have a big tent,
yeah.
because if we don't, the Republican Party is going to die, et cetera, et cetera. Because supposedly,
right.
but supposedly all the millennials support same-sex marriage and they are okay with homosexuality.
Right. Well, we need to teach the millennials. We don't need to just follow the millennials' lead. Millennials are, so many are so misinformed on this issue.
And
I would think there's probably one in 1,000 who's actually even heard of a former homosexual, somebody who's walked away from the lifestyle.
Right. And a lot of that's thanks to the public education system. And if they went to college, it's definitely thanks to the colleges and universities in this country where it's, you know, overwhelmingly liberal. And they're never going to hear the other side.
So, right.
And, you know, unless we do something, especially as Christians, unless we do something to counter that whole liberal mentality within the public school system and the colleges and universities, we're going to lose this culture war.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And
I think it's much more dire than we even.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just now coming to a head and being because of Obama and his liberal tendency,
right.
shall we say, over the last 8 years, given the homosexual activist and now transgender activist, the green light to
yep.
be more public about what they're wanting, what their real agenda is, and they
yep.
can no longer, they cannot deny that this is not an agenda. But you on your website, you had a report, and one of the quotes in that report dealing with media coverage, but you have down here that one writer said, Trump's rise appears to have broken the stranglehold social conservatives have had on the party's
yes.
primary process.
Yes.
And that's
what I'm saying about the moderates.
Yeah.
I think they're really mostly libertarians. These are people within the Republican Party who hate social conservatives.
Yeah. Well, like
when I say hate, you know what I mean. They don't believe. They believe that is going to cripple us because they don't. People like Ted Cruz will not be. Have wide support in the country, so they're pushing the Republicans to walk away from that.
Right.
And the significance of that is that social conservatives have been the backbone of the Republican Party for decades.
Yeah.
And now to sort of say, no, that's not important anymore, you know, really the Republican Party is killing its own brand, and they're also, you know, they can't be used. You know, we're nonpartisan, and I think you're like us, Diane.
Right, exactly.
But the Republican Party has been more pro-family than the
mm-hmm.
Democratic Party, but if the Republican Party walks away from that, you're going to have a lot of Christians, I think, who say, okay, well, I'm not really loyal to the Republican Party anymore.
Yeah, it's going to actually kill the party. I've heard some Trump supporters say that's their intention. That's what they want to happen with their support of Trump because they're so fed up with the Republicans in Washington, D.C. doing nothing as far as nothing substantial to stop Obama in his pen and phone, in his, you know, executive orders. So I know some of them are supporting Trump because they want to see the demise of the Republican Party. So let's hope and pray that that platform is not just a piece of paper with words on it, but that it will be something that, if Donald Trump wins in November, that he will take to heart, and hopefully there are people advising him who are around him that will say, here, read this.
Yeah.
And this is what the people expect from you, from your administration. So that's my hope. So that's,
yeah, and I think that the coverage has been so bad, Diane. I would like to know, does Donald Trump support so-called Equality Act, which is the radical federal legislation? Do we even know where Trump stands on that today? Been even asked about that?
So many questions were never asked. You know, we're make America great again. That's good. We want to do that, but what does that really mean? Same as, what did hope and change mean 8 years ago? That's, the questions have not been asked that should have been asked. Because, you know, Trump does have a reputation for being, shall we say, pro-homosexual or supportive of their agenda. And in fact, one thing you also note is that it was actually a convention event put on by the American Unity Fund. Do you want to tell us what that is and what kind of took place there?
This is another interesting thing where it was, I didn't even know the American Unity Fund existed. It started, apparently Margaret Hoover's involved. She's a very radical, radically pro-gay Republican. I think she's the granddaughter of Herbert Hoover.
Oh.
And this group promotes the acceptance of homosexuality and bisexuality and transgenderism, apparently, in the Republican Party. They had an event. They invited Montel Williams to speak, the talk show host, Bruce Jenner, who goes by Caitlyn Jenner now because he thinks he's trying to be a woman, which he'll never be.
Right.
And they had this event. And, of course, Diane, like all of these socially liberal events at Republican, within the Republican Party, this received huge coverage by the media and on the web. And again, we see the double standard here. You know, when there are pro-life Democrats or pro-traditional marriage Democrats, I don't see the media salivating to cover them, but the media loves to cover so-called gay Republicans and the like because they do not like the traditional pro-family message and pro-life message. So the media is always trying to water that down.
Right. They're trying to emphasize that the Republican Party is changing. At least that's the way it appears to them. And
yes.
Let's pray that they're not right on that. So let's talk about Harvey Milk. Back July 14th, the Secretary of the Navy announced that they were going to name a military sealift command fleet oiler Harvey Milk. So who is Harvey Milk, and why is this a terrible, terrible idea?
Well, Harvey Milk is really the most, the first prominent homosexual activist, open homosexual, to win a major office. He's not the first open homosexual to win elected office. That dishonor belongs to a woman named Ellen Noble, I believe, in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
But he is the first in California, and he sort of mobilized the power that had been created within San Francisco of a large number of homosexuals, you know, living in San Francisco, and he was really the first famous homosexual politician. He was assassinated. It was when the mayor of San Francisco was assassinated. He was also assassinated because he happened to be in the Capitol at the time.
Mm-hmm.
His life, like so many homosexual men, was extremely disordered. He was the victim of pederasts, men who sexualized children.
Okay.
He himself was the victim of child molesters, basically, when he was young, because his mother was naive enough to send him to the theater in New York alone.
Well, this was back. This was back in the, would have been in the 40s, probably, because I think he was born in 1930. So naive enough to do that, thinking it was safe.
Yes, and his homosexual biographer, Randy Schultz, documents, and the language he uses is interesting because he knows it's bad, and he's trying to put the best face on it, but it's just horrible. I mean, this basically, he was fondled and sexualized by predators when he was at the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like so many victims of pedophiles, when he was an adult, he ended up being drawn towards younger men. And when he was 33, I believe, in New York City, he had a sexual relationship, so-called, because it was an exploitive relationship, with a 16-year-old boy. The boy might have been 17, according to another biographer who was also sympathetic to Milk. But I think the age of consent in New York was 17. This is a boy, he's twice as old as this boy,
yeah.
and he's living with them. And you look at the picture, and I have a 16-year-old son.
Mm.
The boy looks like any 16-year-old boy. He was a runaway, and he was sexualized by Harvey Milk. So Harvey Milk is a predator. He was a pederast. Pederasty is sex between men and boys, mm-hmm. often like teenage boys. And then his other relationships also, he was hugely promiscuous. It's hard even to fathom his promiscuity, but many of his boyfriends, so-called, were younger men. He's in his late 30s, 40s.
Many of his boyfriends were boys.
They were boys or young men.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so this is the guy, and now there's more. He's going to have his name on a naval ship in the U.S. Navy. There's a part in Schiltz's book where he basically describes how Harvey Milk basically seduced young men into sodomy.
Wow.
What he would do is he was in San Diego. He was stationed in San Diego, and he had an apartment off base.
Yeah, because he was in the Navy from 51 to 55. So he was
yeah,
in the
so
Navy.
Yeah, so this is the time of the Korean War.
Right.
So men are transitioning. They're going through San Diego to Korea.
Yeah.
And what he would do is, and this is told by this biography, which was really a hagiography. It's a very favorable biography,
right.
not objective.
Because he was.
And
my
what he would do
was,
is.
Yeah, my understanding is that the biographer was a close friend of Milk. So,
I did not know that, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they're both insane. You know, mm-hmm. Milk gained his fame as a very charismatic homosexual politician in San Francisco, and Randy Schiltz worked for the San Francisco Chronicle.
Yeah.
So you can only imagine what the real story is, because this is a favorable biography, and he tells how Milk would say, these guys transitioning to Korea, these sailors.
Right.
He'd say, hey, would you rather sleep on the floor at the YMCA,
mm-hmm.
or would you like to sleep in a bed, an actual bed, in
yeah.
my apartment?
Yeah.
Well, they'd get there, and as he put in his book, they would only find out when they got to the apartment that there was only one bed.
Wow.
In other words, he was seducing sailors
mm-hmm.
in that Navy. And we're naming a ship after essentially this pervert who was, I mean, I think we can use that word as applied to Harvey Milk, this predator pervert.
Yeah.
We're now naming a ship, and we've already named his face is on a stamp,
right.
thanks to Obama.
Obama
gave him the Medal of Freedom, one of the highest awards a president can give.
And that was back in 2009, because I did some research.
Yes.
August 12th, 2009.
All happening so fast with Obama that we can't keep track.
Yeah.
And, of course, in California, there's the Harvey Milk Day, which is an actual official day when kids study Harvey Milk as a civil rights hero in school. So, but there's even more, Diane. He apparently, according to, again, here's Schiltz's biography, implies very heavily that Harvey Milk lied about he staged a fake hate crime against his own camera shop.
Mm-hmm.
So staged a fake hate crime. He also,
was that when he was running for Board of Supervisors there in San Francisco?
I think one of his many runs. I don't know which one.
Okay.
I can't recall, but he staged, apparently, I think he threw bricks through the window of the, and then Milk, the biographer, Randy Schiltz, sort of, says many people think he did that himself.
Okay.
And,
mm-hmm.
of course, we've seen that dozens of times, these fake hate crimes.
Yeah.
And then another thing, he was very anti-Christian. He would mock people who made any connection between homosexuality and pedophilia
mm-hmm.
when he himself was the victim of a pedophile.
Yeah, and he was doing it himself. I mean, he was victimizing others.
He sexualized a teenage boy. Now, in the book, it tries to make it seem like, he cared for these wayward young men and boys. But, I mean, look, I've actually met a pedophile named Leland Stevenson, and he came across as very nice and caring. You don't want a guy who's attracted to younger men, including teenage boys, you don't want that man to be nice.
No.
Because that makes it easier for him to seduce these boys.
To victimize,
The reading his biography is like reading What's Wrong with Homosexuality, but instead of learning those lessons, our young people are going to be taught, and they're already being taught, that Harvey Milk is just another civil rights hero, the first major civil rights hero advocating for homosexuals.
So where did we get to the point in this nation that the truth no longer matters, that we can now have our history or the history of an individual like Harvey Milk revised to paint a prettier picture? I mean, that seems so prevalent nowadays that the truth no longer matters. We can look at the CDC statistics.
The narrative matters. We're already there, Diane.
Yeah, well, definitely. How do we get here?
And I haven't gone over Yeah, I haven't gone over Obama's statements, but they're all to the effect that this is a great civil rights hero.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what our task is as conservatives and truth tellers is the following. We have to bring up these very important facts because, as Ben Shapiro says, facts don't care about your feelings.
That's
the
true.
Fact is, Harvey Milk is a man in his 30s, bedded down, a 16 or possibly 17-year-old boy.
Yeah.
That should be a horrifying fact to every parent of teenage children.
Yeah.
And yet Obama has chosen to honor him. And I hope that the next president reverses these awful awards that Obama has presented.
The thing is, Congress could step in and pass some kind of legislation. I mean, the Constitution gives them the power to regulate the Navy and our armed forces. I mean, they can do something. But they don't want to because they don't want to appear to be homophobic, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. The Republican Congress on the homosexual issue, I have to say, it's been largely worthless.
Well, that's
They've pretty much given up the ghost on the issue.
Yeah.
They've let Obama do anything he wants with, you know.
On anything.
I heard John McCain say, now that Obama is just, Obama's defense secretary or Navy secretary, I can't remember which, I think the defense secretary said, we are going to allow transgenders in the military. I heard McCain say, hey, we're going to have hearings, but how about immediate hearings right away?
Well, exactly, I think he's the chairman of the Senate Armed Forces Committee, Armed Services Committee. I think McCain is the chairman.
Let's have the hearings right away when they get the word.
And they
rather
have,
than just
they should have had hearings. Should have had hearings on women on the front lines. They should have had hearings on transgender issues because they cannot constitutionally do that. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution has a list of powers that that Congress has, and one of those is to set the rules and regulations of the Navy and Army and the armed forces. That's a paraphrase, but that's something that Congress should be doing, not Ash Carter, not the Secretary of Defense, or not even the Navy Secretary within the Navy a ship.
But Diana, notice it hasn't even come up in this debate.
Nope.
In this election,
nothing.
What have we seen? We've seen basically barely surfacing. Ted Cruz mentioned the transgender thing against Trump, but there was a little bit. One of the debates they asked about a related issue. I mean, women in combat.
Right.
And Ted Cruz, I think, was the only one who spoke out against
it.
But even Ted Cruz. Let's say he's the gold standard so far among all the candidates. Because I think Jindal actually has a strong record, or stronger than Ted Cruz on these issues. But Jindal was out early.
Right.
Where were the people raising these issues? Where were the candidates forcing the media to deal with, hey, you know, are we going to have Corporal Klinger come live now?
Yeah.
Corporal Klinger was, remember the TV show MASH? That was back when, and that was a liberal TV show. America was still sane. Corporal Klinger was a laugh line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was for laughs.
Exactly.
Now we're allowing what was used to be for laughs. We're treating it seriously.
Yeah, and we're spending.
America is in big trouble.
We are, and we're spending money for those who are sexually confused to have their so-called sex change operations. Bradley Manning, I think we paid for his. Who now chose
that's part of the goal, and that was made key by part of the started pushing for transgenders in the military, probably expecting the Republicans to resist more than they did.
Yeah,
but
probably.
It's clear that they're going to, in the name of health care, we are going to be paying as taxpayers for these disgusting body mutilations.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is.
And we can't even talk about them. That's how horrific they are. But we are going to be paying for it, and that saves, I think the average cost, I think it was around $75,000. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And Diane, I saw something. I put it up. We're having our banquet, which I think you're actually going to come to October. And I saw one of these tweets of these young, it was a beautiful girl, and she had on her tweet, I think she was 20-something, young 20s, and she had on there how she's now trying to look like a man, her transition, and she was saving up, this beautiful girl, saving up for having breast surgery, breast reduction surgery, which is their euphemism for having her healthy breasts removed so she could have a flat chest like a man. This is insane.
It is insane.
And we better deal with it.
We are a country that is very, very confused. We're lost. I mean, we're lost. There's no doubt about it when it comes to sexuality. It's becoming more and more.
We are lost.
Yeah.
We are lost.
Yeah. Anyway, how can folks...
That means we have to speak out.
Yeah, we do. We do have to. We have to be the truth bearers, whether it hurts or not, for the ones who oppose us. Whether it hurts their feelings that we're saying this, that's their problem because they're the ones with issues. You know, check out these articles because you have a lot of stuff on your website, so give us your contact information.
Thanks, Diane. It's Americans for Truth, all written out, F-O-R, AmericansForTruth.com or .org. Our banquet is October 28th, 29th, Linda Harvey being our speaker, and you can reach us through the website.
Okay, Americans for Truth, all spelled out, AmericansForTruth.com or .org. And your banquet is going to be in the Arlington Heights, Chicago suburb, on October 28th and 29th.
And it's all about how they're promoting transgender deviance, and we're going to be talking a lot about that.
Yeah, wow. You have such great talks, you know, to get you ready for a great banquet. Just kind of calms your nerves so that you can digest the food. Yeah. I'm joking. Anyway, I do encourage our listeners to go to AmericansForTruth.org or .com to get, you know, to read these articles in their entirety, because you could do such a great job when you research, Peter. And I appreciate it. So
Thank you, Diane.
You take care, and I'll see you in October.
Okay, you keep up your great work as well, Diane. God bless.
Take care. God bless.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.